Hi guys, it's your big gay trucker, and it's been a few weeks since I've been on here. I know that Jasmine had hosted a little bit, and a couple other people have done some stuff, Derek and Jess as well. But I am back, and I'm recuperating from everything and getting my mindset and everything back to where it needs to be. It's been a hard few weeks for me, and you know, we do preach all the time about mental health and you know, keeping yourself centered and focused. And when on the road, that's one of those things that, you know, is so important, because it's lonely being in a truck sometimes. Even if your partner is beside you or someone's back there in the back sleeping, you still have a lot of lonely miles on the road. And so I just want to first thing say that, you know, thank you all so much for all the support since mom passed and since dad passed. So it has made I haven't been able to reach back out to every person individually, but it has made a huge difference in my life to be able to have the support of other people. So I thank you all so much. And this is my very first podcast back since that. And I've known Trucker G and Miss G for a while. And so we have them on the show today. So hi, guys, and welcome.
Hello.
don't let him fool you. He couldn't afford nobody better.
I got free gifts today, so I was happy. It couldn't have come in the mail any better. Like I literally, you guys, so like came home today, got off the truck, and like this come in the mail. I was like, oh my gosh, I have like free gifts today. So like I was super excited.
And this wasn't meant to be a shameless plug, but
it is anyway. We're doing it. I was so excited that you sent one in pink. I was like, oh my god, he sent a pink one.
What do you think I got a biking chain?
But now, you know, so I have followed you guys for a while, and we finally met at Match Truxero last year, and we missed each other the year before. I don't think you guys came. You guys were
no, we didn't.
I was going to try to come.
No, we did the year before.
We did.
We just were everywhere and still didn't see everything.
We were like missed each other and stuff like that. But then, you know, the very first moment meeting you all, it was like, it was hugs. And it was just like, I had known you my whole life. It was like someone that I had known my whole life. And
that's what it's supposed to be.
I love that. You know, it's how it should be with everybody. But, you know, but that's why I do the interviews, is because I want people to see the driver behind the wheel and who is in that truck. You know, people don't think about who's in a truck when they're, even if they're in their car and, you know, they're going down the road, people does not think about the person behind the wheel. They just think about that stupid truck driver that cut them off or whatever, you know, and they don't think about the person, the family, the, you know, why you're doing the same things that they do every day. You know, they're on the way to their job at Starbucks, and we are, while they're sleeping, flying through their town in the middle of the night, like little Cape Crusaders, and they don't think about us. And so that's basically why I started the podcast, was just to interview people so people can see them and get to interact. And because there's a lot of times they keep us in neat little boxes and try to like think that we're a certain way, or, you know, that we are not an ally to the community and things like that. So I have gotten some hell here recently about, you know, posts from Taylor Barker and other people. And so I was like, you know, no, I never have felt that you guys didn't like LGBTQ people. I never have felt, you know, it was always just about the greater good for the drivers, a playing field just for drivers. And I know you guys have always been that way, and I've never felt like that from you guys. So I wanted other people to see that.
Well, I'm kind of warning everybody right now, those that don't know me, I'm liable to offend somebody because I'm an equal opportunity offender. And I'm really good about it. But I got to tell you, when I first met Bobby, like he said, first thing I did is gave Bobby a hug. And you know what? I'm still not gay.
I guess I didn't wear enough gay spray that day. I don't know.
Well, it's just the thing, you know. You know, to somebody that's straight, a lot of people that you talk to, and I'm sure you know this already, but that... Well, people in general, they stay away from people that they don't understand.
That are different.
That are different, right? Because they've never actually taken the time to get to know somebody for who they are and not for what they believe or whatever, you know, it doesn't matter.
It's like a society's formed opinion different. And people do that just based off of minority or based off of anything, you know, shouldn't be that way. At the end of the day, we're all drivers.
Makes us beautiful.
You know, we're all drivers and we all love somebody, or some of us are single, whatever. We love our pets, whatever. But like at the end of the day, we're all the same. And really, what does it matter who you sleep with? It's not their business, honestly.
It's not my business.
You're not in the bedroom. Well, I hope you're not in the bedroom when it happens.
I've got enough people in my room. Me, Mrs. G, and all my personalities. There is no more room.
Oh, you know. So does that mean Mrs. G has a favorite personality?
There's no room with her personalities. You know, mine end up in the closet, and hers are all over the place.
Mine dominate. Just saying.
So how long have you actually been in trucking?
Over 30 years. I think it's almost 31 years now.
So what?
32 what years. I don't know anymore.
What was the fascination or what started it for you to begin trucking?
I've always liked trucks since I was a little kid. Families are all mechanics and truck drivers. But I didn't really grow up with my immediate family being truck drivers. Most of them were mechanics. But what really got me started in truck driving is I needed to put food on the table and a roof over my family's head.
Right.
And that's how I got started in truck driving. It was a good living for my family. It's provided for my family this many years. We've had great times. We've had bad times. Truck is a roller coaster. It's got its ups and downs, but it's always got us by.
So in your 30 years of trucking, what would you say has changed that you don't like? And then what has changed that you do?
The camaraderie is the biggest thing. We've become, and even as a country, but we'll just stick with trucking, we've become further and further divided.
And no one takes the opportunity, you know, when they're at a truck stop just to meet the driver next to them or the driver coming in out of the truck stop or going into the truck stop while you're coming out. No one says hi or nothing like that. We just have tunnel vision and go straight from there to there. And we're in our own little world and we keep ourselves isolated.
We find reasons to hate each other. I'm not going to go talk to this guy. He's wearing flip-flops. I'm not going to go talk to this guy. He's got an LGBTQ sticker on his truck. I'm not going to talk to this guy. He's got a turban on his head. I don't care what God you pray to. I don't care if you pray to a God at all. I don't care who you sleep with. I don't care who you vote for. It's none of my business. What is my business is we don't all have to like each other, but we do have to love each other. And out on the road, if we ain't got each other, we got nobody.
Well, I really feel that is, I feel like that is one of the biggest separations. I wish that, I'm not hating on convoys, but I wish that we actually had more of a presence. Because if we were more united with each other and not caring about what separates us and makes us different, if we would actually be more united, we could stand against the rates in the economy and all the different other stuff and actually make a difference. But the problem is, I feel that, you know, with all the big major conglomerate companies and things like that, you know, so many people as a company driver, they can't just like go on strike, or they can't just go and like, they don't have a voice anymore.
No.
Everything is so, you know, it's so much like you don't have a job if you want to go to a convoy, or you want to go out there and do something with your truck. Nope. Sorry. You can't do that. It's a company truck. So you can't do that. Not allowed to do that. Even if you're an owner operator and you're leased under or onto somebody, they're going to be like, yep, you can't do that with the name of our truck on your truck.
Mm-hmm. Like,
there's so many things that people don't realize on that side of stuff. Like even me, when I started with XPO, when I started the gay pride parades and all the different stuff and being visible and starting the organization a few years ago, at first I had to cover the logos. Like I wasn't allowed to have the logo shown. I wasn't allowed to say where I worked at in like articles and on all the stuff that I've done. But then they changed about 2 years in to understanding how it could help them. They literally have like latched on to market me, if that makes sense.
But that's wrong to begin with, because basically that's telling you, we want you to come work for us and come make money, but we don't want you to be you.
Exactly. Right. We want you to know who you are.
Right.
And not represent our company.
We've even had sponsors do that. We've had people that said, hey, I will sponsor you, but you have to act less gay and you can't be with your husband in any of the...
No, you act any different than if you're not being yourself.
I was like, have you met me? I mean, just... But like, so how long have you and Miss G been together?
About the same amount that I've been trucking.
We started a family quick.
I've been with Mrs. G 1 year longer than I have been with my truck.
So was you always on the road, or was you a stay-at-home mom, or?
I was on the stay-at-home mom. I went over there.
He's on the road butthead is what he is. No, I remember to be at home, and, you know, I worked a full-time job, stayed home and took care of the kids, and, you know, our oldest daughter helped out tremendously with her brother and sister. Well, I worked, and G was on the road, so did our community that we live in. But the plan had always been, you know, from the beginning, when the kids were grown and out of the house, that I would pack up and hit the road with him. And I did for an entire year. And then his grandma got real, real sick. And we brought her to live with us. And I spent another almost 4 years at home. And then I went back out on the road, and I've been with you for 4 years now.
Well, I know from me and Ricky being together in the truck, there's moments I want to cash in an insurance policy, and there's other moments.
Okay, just call me later. I've been watching a lot of Dateline or listening to a lot of Dateline.
But it's just, you know, there's moments, but I feel like at the end of the day, I know it's a very small space, but it has brought us so closer together with each other, you know, in our relationship. And because, you know, a relationship's always, it's a whole nother job 24/7.
Yeah. And it's work.
It's work. And a lot of people, you know, everybody's that Beyonce person. It's like, I can have another you in a minute. And that's why they're single. And they get on that route. But I really do feel that I've met a lot of drivers on the road that have lasting relationships. I know a lot of people are single on the road, but some of the people that I've really met, like Petra Webb and her husband, and just there's other people that's on the road, and they really have a very in tune relationship because of the truck. I feel that way. So I don't know if that's for you guys like that, but like,
we've just been together so long that it's kind of a blur now.
It is kind of a blur. But getting into the truck with him after being home,
it's hard adjustment.
It was a big adjustment. And like you said, that small confined space, there's a lot of times, you know, I would like, you know, we'd have an argument and I'd be like, damn it, there's no doors to slam and I can't go any further than sit on the bed. And I was sitting back there pouting and everything.
Pull the blanket under your head and say,
I'm like, just calm down. It'll be okay.
I've trained throughout the years. I did a lot of training and stuff, but I'm not the easiest person to be in the truck with.
That's an understatement.
Everybody that sees me on, you know, online, and I do a lot of videos and stuff, so
yeah,
what they don't see is I'm probably one of the most quiet people you'll ever meet. I can go a whole day without saying two words.
Drives me nuts. And his students used to tell me, does he ever talk? And I said, he talks all the time, what are you talking about? Right. But then getting in the truck with him, and you know, for the first few weeks, it was conversation, and we listened to the radio. And then after that, it's like,
I want to be able to hear the engine. I want to be able to feel what's going on with the truck. But my students, back when I trained, I did it for a reason. I did it for their own good. Because like you were speaking about earlier, mental health, if you cannot stand to be in that truck with yourself, by yourself, for so long, the truck is not for you. And I didn't want them to get in their head being in the truck with me. Oh, it's fun and games, and we can laugh and we can joke. No, you need to know what it's like to be in your own head going down that road and decide, hey, is this for me or not, before you get out on your own.
Make that commitment, yeah.
I think it's, you know, that's one thing about trucking is, and I tell people this all the time, the only way you know is if you try it. But it has a way to instantly let you know. It'll spit you right back out. Like it's either you are cut out for it or you're not. It's that simple. And you know, I spent like 16 years in nursing, and then I wanted a break from nursing, and I was like, we have to do something else. And my dad was a truck driver, and his dad was Ricky's dad was a truck driver. So Yeah. He had his own coal trucking company. So it was just, we had been around it our whole life, and we both didn't really envision us, because I will just say, you know, I always had that image in my head of a truck driver in bib overhauls and like a flannel shirt and just the, you know what I'm saying? Like the typical truck driver. And I was like, I do not.
That's lovely. You said, I'm a typical truck driver.
But there's an image, you know, and I was born and raised in, like, you know, backwards West Virginia. So I'm just used to that. And that was my visualization in my head of a truck driver. And I'm like, okay, I'm not that person. But, you know, I'm also the person that also thinks that if you put your mind to it, you can do it. There's nothing that's, you know, out of your wheelhouse if you put your mind to it. So I'm still the person that climbs under my truck and fixes stuff and looks for airline leaks and greases everything up. And I know people can't picture me doing that, but I do.
I can picture you doing it.
And you know, but it's all of it. It's a mind thing. You have to, but really fast, I feel that you do find out whether you're cut out for trucking or not cut out for trucking.
Oh yeah.
So
real quick.
Did you start as a company driver?
Actually I did. When I very first started out, I started out in Phoenix, Arizona. Well, I started off in California, but over the road, it was in Phoenix, Arizona. And I had the same route every 2 weeks. I would run from Phoenix, Arizona to Hunts Point, New York. And then from Hunts Point, I'd pick up a load in New York, going back to Washington State, grab a load in Washington State, right back to Phoenix, Arizona, take a day at home and do it again. Or no, take 2 days at home, do it again. I had to let my logbook. But catch up to me.
Yeah, that was the day when you had like 2 logbooks. This is the
actual, you know, I never ran 2 logbooks. And the reason why I didn't, because I always had loose leaf and I was really good with a log.
And my dad was the person that had 2. He was like, you know, you had your one that was kind of accurate that you could fly by with, but then he's like, and he had it out for like days already.
I usually just tore a page out.
Yep. But now, so the things in trucking that you see today, I know everyone has, I love modern technology, but I feel like some of the downfall of trucking is because of modern technology.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the reason we don't use the CB like we used to use the CB. There's so many people that don't even have a CB in their
truck. Oh, yeah. That's crazy.
And there's companies that tell them that they're not allowed to have a CB.
Oh, wow. Really?
Oh yeah. FedEx, one of their rules, they can't have CBs in their truck. They're not supposed to have CBs in their truck. At least the one my cousin works for out in California.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's crazy.
But so yeah, I totally get it.
What is your pet peeve when it comes to things going on right now? Do you have like a certain specific issue that you have feel with things?
I've got a lot of issues, but I'm just going to tell you, like I said, I've got a lot of issues, that's for sure. But we'll keep them to trucking, okay?
You're in the right my biggest issue
is, like I told you, I'm very quiet and I hardly talk at all. But then I started YouTube and Facebook and I do all kinds of talking on videos. If you'd asked me 4 years ago, gee, hey, would you do a video? Absolutely not. I ain't doing no fucking video. Excuse my language. But I felt like I had to. I actually had a student of mine who was doing a vlogging. I didn't even know what a vlog was, to be honest with you. And he hollered at me. He called me up and said, hey, G, want to know if you do me a favor and come on Facebook with me and do an interview. I said, what do you mean an interview on Facebook? I'm on Facebook, but all I ever see on there is my family. What do you mean an interview for trucking?
Right.
I didn't know there was such thing as stuff about trucking on YouTube or Facebook. So I said, well, I'll be glad. I'd do it for you. You know, maybe if I can help somebody, that'd be great. So I did this interview with him. He goes, I'd love to have you on, but, you know, every other week or regular as you can. And I said, no, that'd be fine. That'd be great. If I could help somebody, I'd love to. And after that show, I got onto YouTube and the first thing I typed in was trucking advice, because I would have had no idea to even look up trucking advice on YouTube. Right. And I've seen all these damn videos. I mean, they were all over the place. And I thought, well, shoot, let's see what these guys are saying. And you start looking through them. Yeah, this guy has no clue what he's talking about. No, this guy don't know what he's talking about. No, have no clue. And then you'll run across, you know, somebody that's been doing it for a while. Hey, yeah, this guy's he's spot on.
Right.
But then you look at their follower or their video count, and nobody's watching that person. They're watching that person that has no idea what they're talking about. And then I run across this one guy, and he was actually charging brand new students money for a 30-minute phone call. He called it a coaching call about getting into trucking, and I got pissed. And what pissed me off is because I was an instructor at a school, and I seen the students coming into the school. Most of these people coming into trucking and goes to school, this is their last ditch effort to put a box of macaroni and cheese on the table to feed their family. They don't even know if they're going to be able to make rent the next month. They're all in just to get the CDL, get out there to provide for their family. And you want to charge them $60 for a damn call for the same information I got for free?
Yep.
This is bullshit. And that's when I made my very first video. If you needed any kind of trucking advice, reach out to me and I ain't going to charge you a damn dime. And if somebody is, they're ripping you off.
Right.
And yeah, that's how I got started.
It's about educating others. And that's how I got started with stuff too, is I wanted to educate others and I wanted to break the stigma of LGBTQ and like drivers. And, you know, and I really want to level the playing field. Everybody just understand that everyone's drivers. It's not really it is an LGBTQ organization, but at the end of the day, we're all just drivers.
Yeah.
We're all drivers. We all just have different backgrounds and all that type of stuff. But at the end of the day, we're all drivers doing the same job. And you may be saving your money for taking care of your grandma or put yourself back to school. Everyone has their story of why they're doing what they're doing. But at the end of the day, you know, we have to help each other to get there because there's nobody helping us.
At the end of the day, my life is in your hands every single day. And what I mean by that, is when you're passing me in that left lane or I'm passing you in the left lane, it doesn't matter. One of us was passing each other. When I pass you or you pass me, I'm not thinking about who does this guy sleep with or what God does this guy pray to. I'm thinking, I hope he can hold us steady, because if he can hold us steady, I can hold mine steady and we're both going to go home at the end of the week.
Yeah, please stay in your lane.
Yeah.
please don't break, check me. Please. There's things I'm like... Just stay there. Stay.
Exactly. Don't do it. Don't do it. It ain't worth it.
Box trucks are my thing. I drive over George Washington Bridge and go into Amityville, New York, and I go across in Queens and all that. So every time I'm going through, it's the little bitty box trucks. Like, they kill me. They're the little. It's my pet peeve. Like, the little box trucks.
Like, I've had my pet in New York. I ain't doing it no more, brother. people ask me, will you go to New York, G? Yeah, I'll go to New York. It just depends on what it pays. And I guarantee you don't want to pay me enough to go there.
Right. I don't know. There's really not anywhere. I've been to San Francisco. I've drove everywhere. And I've done some stupid stuff that I would never do now.
Like, yes, we all have.
Like, you know, I've done some stupid stuff and been dispatched and people like, and you have to do this load. And I've realized now that I'm not that person. There is no have to do anything. No, my truck is not moving. You know, and if you don't like it, then that's okay. Like, but, and that's a message I always try to get to people, because in starter companies, and I'm not hating on starter companies, everybody has to start somewhere. And it is a good program to get into, because if you don't have the money up front to pay for your schooling, there is some remotely good companies out there to start with. But again, just remember, it's a starter job. It's a starter company. And that's just what I always tell everyone. And, you know, we even have like LGBTQ Vetted, which is a website that we actually vet companies that are LGBTQ friendly. And we actually ask them for insurance purposes and what their policies are when hiring people who are trans. So we have some safe trucking companies that we list on our page. But like, I try to do that, but I just always try to remind people that when you start into trucking, it's not like, when I started in trucking, I thought, coming from a business and nursing background, I thought it was one of those things, like a regular job that I was going to work my way up through. Trucking's not like that. Like, you work through experience. The more experience you get, then you get approved for other companies that will hire you based off your experience. It's totally different. So you do actually have to change jobs eventually. Yeah. And, you know, most places you think, I'm going to get here and I'm just going to work my way up for like 20 years. And I'm not saying you can't do that, but you have to get to an experience level to get yourself out of the starter company. And a lot of people don't understand that. So...
Unless you're an idiot, I don't keep going back to it.
I have actually, I had a person that I knew that went three times to trucking school because they wrecked twice, lost their driver, their CDL, and then they still gave them the CDL again.
I was just talking about that. You ain't started a company three times. That's bad.
And I've seen, well, I've seen people do that too, where they.
I got a question for you, Bobby. Why you put baby in a corner like that? Why just got to sit all the way back there, no mic or nothing?
Because he likes it like that. He likes that full pan view of himself.
I have a question for you guys.
What's up?
I was reading an article that was written about you and your wife.
It ain't true.
It's because you guys, I know I've seen videos from you guys where you're always talking about how truckers don't pay attention to each other anymore. It's not, they don't have the camaraderie like they used to have. Like back when my grandfather drove 50 some years ago. But an instance happened, and an article was written about you guys back in September of 2020 about something that you guys did for a fellow truck driver. I was wondering if you would talk about that a little bit so people can understand.
2020, you're talking about Jim Gerhart?
Jim Gerhart.
Gentleman with cancer. His wife reached out to a bunch of trucking groups, and she reached out, and the message got sent to me about this lady sending out a message, was wanting to give her husband, who was dying of cancer, his last ride. And I reached out to her as soon as I could. She got back to me, and I told the company I was with, hey, I'm heading to Nebraska to give this gentleman his last ride. I need a load going that way. If you ain't got one, let me know, because I'm gonna be deadheading.
Yeah.
And we took off to Nebraska, give the gentleman his last ride. And it was an honor for me. I got a lot of people saying, oh, that's so great of you, G and Mrs. G. You're such great people for doing it. You know, I thought his wife and him were the great people to give us that honor and that feeling to be able to do that for him.
Right.
And we still keep in contact with his wife, Connie. I mean, she's on our page, and, you know, we have her phone number, and I check in with her periodically. She also drives truck, and
we actually did the same thing this Christmas with the gentleman at the nursing home. You know, it's all he talks about is trucking. He's at the nursing home, lives there, and he talks. We were giving blankets or giving gifts away to all the nursing residents at the nursing homes in our area. We went to three different nursing homes.
Yeah,
and one was a VA nursing home, and the two of the local nursing homes. And the nurses there was to tell me, you got to go see this gentleman. That's all he talks about, trucks. Just let him know you're a truck driver. You'll make his day. And I came out of there, and Mrs. G told me, she looked at me, and she goes, he's a trucker. And I already knew what she was thinking. I said, what do we got to do to give this man a ride?
And
his daughter just happened to be working there. And I called her over there and asked her, she would do me the honor of being able to give her dad a ride in the truck. She started bawling. I started bawling.
We're all bawling.
And we made it happen in like 3 days, Christmas Eve.
Yeah, and I used to work there, so I know all the people that work there. And one of the aides, his aide, she came in on Christmas Eve, took time away from her family and her kids to help us get him into the truck so that he could take this ride with us.
Does that make me a great person? Absolutely not. I do this for selfish reasons. I'm a selfish person. I do it because it makes me feel good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So a lot of people don't know about the Driver Memorial Program. So we started Driver Memorial Program. We do Life 360 Ring with all the other drivers that's we're really close to. It's for anybody that wants to do.
In other words, we're not important enough.
No, I.
Oh shit!
<yeah. laughs> I'm sorry. Go ahead, buddy.
You're just finding out about it, but we do the Life 360 Ring to check on each other as a safety because Doug Mosier was a really close friend of mine. And I went to school with his wife. She went to trucking school with me. And he passed away in his truck. And the way we found him was we were all in a Life 360 ring on our phones. And we had seen where he was located at. We had talked to him that night. And straight as straight could get. He was the greatest guy. Cut up, act a fool. When I first met him, I was like, we are not going to be friends. Like, he's going to hate me. Like, I just, he was that, you know, I met him, and that's my own ignorance, but I felt that way. I was like, oh, he is not going to like me. And we ended up being the best of friends. Like, his wife actually would tease him and say that I was a woman, because like, there was days that I would talk to him before she would talk to him. Like, how's my husband today? So anyway, it was funny. It was an inside joke and everything. But when Doug passed, it was completely unexpected. Like, he was here 1 minute and literally gone. And we had just spoke to him that night, said he wasn't feeling good. He was sick in his truck. And then he passed in the night, and actually about an hour after everybody got the phone with him. And, we had to do a wellness check the next day. His wife did. And then she's calling me. And then she called me while they're doing the wellness check, and her son and everybody on the phone. And of course she lost it. I lost it. We completely, you know, they found him in his truck. And that's why I started Driver Memorial Program, because in trucking, again, we're seen, but we're not seen at all, I feel like, a lot of the times. And then it just ends there. Most people, there's like maybe one driver in their household, and then it leaves a family behind. It leaves a wife, kids, it whatever the situation may be. But like, but it ends. It ends right there. And their truck is filled usually before their funeral happens or before they even get back home. So I started looking up other places. And so we started a thing where we do like, it's nothing big, but it's something I feel that comes from the trucking community. And it's not about being LGBTQ. It's just for any driver. But I literally send like a car charm. It's a car charm that hangs with angel wings, and it's a picture of the person. And then we do a memorial t-shirt. And then we do a letter of condolence just from the trucking community saying that we're very sorry for your loss and to reach out if you ever need any help. And I just do that because that happened to me. It was so personal, but it was just like done and over with. I don't want to sound weird when I say that, but it was, you know, and there's nothing that comes from the trucking community at all. And it just, I had to do something a little bit more. I know it sounds not like much, but just sending a letter to someone, condolence, just saying, you know, I'm very sorry for your loss, and trying to send stuff like that. That's something I just started because I had to do something. I know that sounds weird, but like, I just had to do something.
It doesn't. You said that don't sound like much, but that family member that just lost them, it's the world.
Yeah, it shows that, you know, the trust community
somebody cares.
Right.
And that, you know, that's just not the end.
You know, when we leave this world, we're never truly dead until our name is spoken for the last time.
Yeah. So if you guys ever, I'm bringing that up because if you guys ever have anybody that comes to you, or you know of any families and things like that happen, just send that pass that information on to me so I can also work with you guys on that, and we can reach out to the family and send something to them.
Definitely. And do me a favor too, Bobby. If you get my name in there, please call the authorities, because she did it.
I was thinking it, but you said it.
Well, I mean, I'm the beneficiary. He's my bestie over here, and I'm the beneficiary on his insurance policy. Yeah. So
I kid you not. I called him 2 weeks ago when I finally figured out which one I was getting. And I said, I just wanted to let you know you are now the beneficiary of $125,000. I kid you not. I heard him turn to Ricky and say, hey, we are moving to Florida.
So yeah,
you got a true friend, brother.
Anytime you have anybody reaches out, just, you know, and anytime you guys are doing events or anything, just let us know. Is there any way that we can help or be there to hang out and stuff? We will try to come. But you know, you have to give me a little bit of notice because it's true.
Like I told you before, Bobby, you're welcome to come over here anytime you want. My door's always open, even if it ain't for an event.
And eventually, so you have to come in the next few months if you want to see the house, because we will no longer be here. I have decided that since my journey is over taking care of mom and dad, that me and Ricky have decided to move back to Florida.
Awesome.
I love being.
So it just means I need to go to Florida, is what you're telling me.
Well, yeah, you can come to Florida too.
See or hear from me for a while. You know how they got the down payment.
I got you, Jess. I got you.
So, what is your stance on like convoys and all the other stuff? Like, do you feel that they are helping, or do you feel that
they're misunderstood?
Which convoy do you want to know about? And
we'll discuss it. I'm leaving.
Okay, we'll turn off with the people. Because I'm an open book. I mean, you don't have to agree with me. I don't have to agree with you. We can agree to disagree. Like I said, we don't all have to love each other. We don't all have to like each other, but we all have to love each other. The people's convoy. Thought it was great. I lost everything I own. Ended up selling my house. Sold everything I owned after that convoy because I lost my ass. Would I do it again? Absolutely, because I felt wholeheartedly about it. A lot of people say, well, what good did it do? It brought awareness. A lot of people.
It
brought them together. Right. We've seen it from coast to coast. Now, if you're going to get into the Texas convoy, I'm all for our First Amendment rights. I'm all for all of our rights, for every right. And like I told people during the first convoy, you cannot fight for one right and not fight for them all.
Right.
Whether you believe it or not, if it's somebody's right, you have no right to your rights unless you're going to stand up for somebody else's. Right. And so I believe that we all need to stand up for each other's rights. But as far as convoys go, I mean, I'd love to see the truck drivers actually get together and do something about rates. No. Everybody keeps saying, well, we want the government needs to control brokers. Brokers ain't our problem. The government ain't our problem. Our problem is us. We can control what happens in the trucking industry if we would just come together.
So here's my unpopular opinion, but and you can agree or not agree, but I just feel that, you know, the government, people always think that when people start saying, well, the government can help us and do it. No. The government is not out on our side at all. You know, we already pay taxes on top of taxes and we pay, you know, and we're taxed at everything we do. And then we still have to pay taxes at the end of the year after paying all those taxes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the moment that we owe them anything, you're threatened to go to the freaking jail if you don't freaking pay them. The government is not on your side. The government is out for the government, and it's that simple.
The last thing we need in trucking is more regulations.
Right. At the end of the day, you know, the only way to make a change or a difference is to band together, and you have to understand that our differences is okay. Doesn't matter what someone else is doing, but at the end of the day, we all are drivers. And if we can make a difference by actually coming together, and that's how you're going to do it. That's the only way you're going
to
do it.
Yeah. You don't have to like me. You don't have to break bread with me. I mean, we don't have to sing Kumbaya together, but what we do have to do is stand side by side.
Right. Right. And, you know, I feel like, you know, there's just a lot of things in trucking that I'm like, I hate. There is things I hate, and hate is a bad word, but it just, there's things I hate.
You're right.
There's things that I look at and I'm like, you know, and even amongst other drivers, I see things. I see so many weird things going down the road. But anyway, I just do. You guys know what I'm talking about. Like,
especially
I just like
when you have a bigger rainbow.
Can you just see that?
And but you know, you when you see it and then but you know, and that's the price. So when I had the big rainbow on the side of the truck, and it's getting ready to go back on this month, but like when I had the big rainbow, you would be surprised at the people. It wasn't as bad as what people thought having the Pride truck. Like people was like, oh, I bet you that you have so many people that cuss you out. No, like it was very rare. There was more people coming up that were straight people taking selfies and like taking and, you know, and there's a couple of little things on the truck that people don't realize. Like I have an ally flag for people who are allies to the community. Like it wasn't just a truck for LGBTQ people. Like there's so many flags on the side of it that when you look at it, yes, it's bright and it's rainbow, but it was meant to represent everyone, whether you're gay, straight, everyone. There's even a flag actually for straight people. It's not even just ally. It's a straight people flag. And people don't even know that that even exists. But there is a flag for straight people, and it's on the truck as well. So it's like people don't realize that. But then there's a flag for African-American culture, and there that is on the truck. And a lot of people didn't realize that was even something that existed. So when I incorporated it on the truck, I didn't want someone to be able to look at me and say, that truck doesn't represent me. No, actually it does. There's a flag right there for you and your culture. Like, and so it was a very in-depth design when I did it, because there is like 38 flags around the circle and of the logo. And it literally, there is a Mexican culture flag. There is Indian culture flag. There's a Two-Spirit for the Indians as well. So I took it a step farther so that no driver could come forward and say, it doesn't represent me, because it does. There's a flag right there for you. Whether you're a part of the LGBTQ, I always made sure that they were included. So a lot of people thought that it would be very negative, but it really wasn't that bad. It wasn't bad. I mean, it's bright coming down the highway, but you know, and Taylor Barker brought up something, you know, he's like, you're really going to piss people off because you have a Freightliner Coronado now. And he's like, that's more of a straight boy truck. And I was like, well, I mean, I get it. It just was a funny, it was funny to me because he was
Taylor's could be funny. He likes that.
He's like, I can't wait to see it.
My mom always told me it's better be pissed off than pissed on, unless you're into that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't want to. So is there any events or anything coming up for you all that you're working on or coming
up? If we got a second, I kind of want to go back to your first thing. We were talking about convoys, and
yeah,
and I want to tell you one of the strongest symbols I've seen in that convoy, in the people's convoy. You know, we got into an Atalanta. She already knows what I'm getting at. I've said that I don't know how many times.
And I lost all my pictures from that day.
And I had a picture, and I wish I could find it because she had it on her phone. But we got to Atalanta. And there was a few thousand people there, you know. But there was one thing that sticks out to my mind, in my mind till this day. There was one gentleman there, and he had an American flag, and he was flying a gay pride flag all by himself. And I thought, you know what? He's got the biggest balls in this crowd. And I had one driver actually say something about it. And I said, you know what? If anybody talks to that man in a negative way or says anything about what he's doing, they're going to have to fight me.
He is a sweet guy.
And that goes right back to where I said, we cannot fight for one right and not stand for them all.
Right. Right. It's just like.
But yeah, it really rings true in my head.
I still see it.
And he was as proud as he could be. Let me tell you, he was a proud
at
American.
At the time, I was going to come to the convoy. They had reached out to me. A couple of people had reached out to me and said that I needed to be there, but I was a company driver, so I was not allowed.
Yeah, it totally
I was not allowed to go. I wasn't allowed to participate. They considered it as being what is it? They told us it was a risk factor for their insurance and all this other stuff that I couldn't be there. And I'm like, really? Like, because I had to fight to even go to the truck shows, to be a part of the truck shows and other things. Like, it's all that red tape that you have to go through. But now I'm a wonderful owner operator. And losing my ass to my truck, but anyway.
Now Bobby says, I'm the big gay trucker, bitches.
But now, you know, I am an operator, so I am able to go wherever I want to go. And I do like that part, but I just don't like paying for my truck all the time.
Okay, I'm looking over here on the right side of the screen, and I'm seeing all these comments, Bobby. So I'm just kind of curious, have I offended somebody yet? If not, no. I haven't done my job.
No, you haven't offended
not
anybody.
Yet, which, you know, I pay attention to all the different lines. And nobody has really said anything or been offended yet. So
I'm slacking, ain't I?
You're not doing something right.
I'm slacking. Well,
Derek had
got me on love day.
Derek asked, are they a part of any organization like OIDA, and do they support any of their agendas for trucking?
I'm going to tell you right now, and like I said, this is my own opinion. I'm not part of OIDA. I'm not part of them because they're not that same organization that they started off to be. Don't get me wrong. They do a lot of good in the trucking community, but I think they could go harder on what they do and take a bigger stance. And I think what holds them back is these insurance companies that they're trying to sell, all these different things that they're trying to sell, factoring and everything that where they make their money. I think that holds them back to having a solid stance on a lot of the issues. And that might just be my own opinion. I really don't know.
I think that's just with anything, though, now. I really feel like it's so commercialized and corporate that if it's not commercialized and they're not making the money and they're not branding it a certain way, and I understand everybody's out to make money a certain, you know, it's what we do. Even us as drivers, we're trying to make money, but still there is human rights and things that needs to be followed. And I don't see why they can't, because I've had my own issues with OIDA and like they will take your money, they will take and do memberships for you. But if you have an LGBTQ issue at all, they will not represent you.
And that's not right. They should be representing.
I will tell you that they will not. I've went clear to the president about it, and we have went around. He's very nice. They've been very nice and cordial to me about it, but they straight out said that their answer was, we will not focus on what makes us different from each other. And then I kind of got mad about it because I was like, but you will represent, I said, my rebuttal basically to them was, but you will go and you represent and do articles on women's associations.
Yep.
But you won't do it for an LGBTQ.
Yep.
And they won't even have me on their like podcast or any of their shows. They won't have me as a guest. There's a lot of red tape that I have to go through just to be.
They don't respond to our emails.
Yeah. So
they don't feel bad. They don't call me either.
It's just, you know, I don't hate them. I've had my own.
I truly believe we need an organization that's similar, not that one.
Right.
We need something that's a non-profit, not for profit. We need our own lobbyist that actually is for the truck driver, for the owner operator, for the company driver, somebody in trucking that is not the ATA. The ATA is not for the truck driver. They're for the big mega corporations,
right.
But ATA is the one that has all the money because all these mega corporations, and they're basically speaking for the whole trucking community because they've got the money. Anytime you hear a politician on TV say something about the truckers, it's because the ATA was in their ear, and it's usually screws the rest of us up the ass. Excuse my language. It's just true.
No, I mean, it's true. I mean, you know, and that's, I feel that when my dad was a driver, that's originally what OIDA and
it was.
They were about the driver. Right. They had lawyers that did pro bono work and all the other stuff, and you didn't have to. But that all has kind of went out the window.
It used to just be a bunch of pissed off truck drivers.
Right. And, you know, it's not that way anymore.
Now they've turned into suit and ties themselves.
But I even feel, some of the trucking shows has lost the appeal of trucking shows. They're not really about the driver anymore either. Some of them has just kind of, it's all commercialized. There's not the parking lot activities like it used to be unless someone does it upon themselves. There's not the cookouts in the lot. There's not, I mean, I don't know. I just feel like a lot of that has went away. And they don't even allow it. Like some of them don't even allow it at all. So I would rather start myself. You know, we've been trying to figure out where we're going to be at shows this year. I know we're not going to be at Matt's because we're going to be in Florida on that weekend. But I'm trying to focus, and maybe you guys can help us with that, suggesting maybe smaller shows that needs more attention and things like that, because I really want to
focus. What is Truckers Jubilee? It's a small show right now, but it's seems to be picking up in numbers. I mean, it's a small show, but everybody – well, I'm sure you spoke with Leo. You told me you spoke with Leo.
Yeah.
Great guy.
Yeah, he's invited us out.
A lot of issues, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but he's willing to learn.
Yeah. Now, Lee, when I spoke to him, he was great, and he's invited us out 2 years now, and I haven't went, but I wanted to start focusing on smaller shows and helping them build.
Yeah.
That, you know, because it's more about the trucker when you do that. I like the big shows. It's fun. It's good to go, but I don't get to, I feel like there's some of them are so big that you don't see every, like you're all over the place.
Yeah.
You're all over the place. And, you know, I do miss the truck show that I had in Texas, when I went to the Texas truck show, that was amazing. I don't know if you ever went to that one.
We were supposed to, and something else came up, and I wasn't able to get there.
Yeah, that was amazing when I went, and I would love to go back to do something in Texas again, but it just depends. I don't know. We'll kind of see, you know how our schedules get. But one thing I want to talk about before we go is something that happens to all of us. You know, when you're a public figure and you're out there, people do this to me all the time, and they try to put me in a neat little box. So when they meet me and they see me in my bright colors and I cuss like a sailor and you know, but people do. They put you in this little box and they think that you're going to be a specific way because of your image that's on social media. And I've had issues with that. People being disappointed, I guess, when they meet me because they think that I'm specifically this, or they look at your house or they look at your pictures and they think that you're perfect. And part of this thing from perfect, I screw up every day multiple times.
Perfectly flawed.
Yeah, perfectly flawed.
But I'm sure you guys have had the same thing as well, though. How do you handle that?
We just, you know, we tell them what you see is what you get. And, you know, we're a little bit different because sometimes we do cuss like a sailor and G smokes, but those things he doesn't do, you know, on camera, because we have grandchildren, they watch, and we know there's other people's kids that watch us as well. But, you know, we're not perfect. We're just us. We're the everyday average person that just wants the best for their family and to help out anywhere that we can.
Average, you're far from average.
But, you know, the pedestal thing, no, that's
yeah, fine. I can't do that. My biggest problem.
Before we go, I know that this was not planned, but I do want to talk about all of your stuff. So how can people get it and how can all that happen? Because I know that a lot of people, you know, follow and they want to get like the keychains and things like that. So how does people get this stuff? And like, how did this all happen? How did it start with the having your room products? And
I do a lot of cooking. I do all the cooking at home, pretty much.
He loves to cook and I love to let him.
and we do a lot of videos. And so if we're home, I'll show videos with me cooking and stuff, do lives and stuff. And I've had a lot of people ask me, gee, what are you seasoning that with? It's just my own seasoning.
Where
can we get it? I said, I make it. You can't get it anywhere. And then one day I said, you know what? If you guys really want this, I'll make some bags up. And so I made some bags up and we sold them online and I sent them out. And I thought, well, heck, if people really want it, let's just bottle it because I don't have time to make it for everybody. Yeah. And so I sent my recipe to a co-packer and he put they packed it for me and we started a website called truckergspot.com. truckergspot.com.
But GeForce is the one that gave us that little nudge a year ago, and we've been, you know, building our product line ever since. We started with the original G-Spot, and then we moved on with the mango habanero, and then we came out with the garlic habanero, and then we came out with the spicy G-Spot.
It's healthy. Yeah. It's all natural ingredients. If I can't say it, then it don't go in there. It's low in sodium.
Yeah, it's actually got an ingredient called fenugreek, which has medicinal purposes, helps with lower the blood pressure, helps the libido.
Right.
So
that's always good.
Now it made it sound like a damn commercial.
Jess wants it in an IV form.
Usually if we're selling it, like when we go to the truck shows and stuff, we're selling it. I'll give you the sales pitch. What you got here is you got the Trucker G-Spot seasoning. The Love Your Meat's been one. It's the spot every time. I tell you what, you take one of these home, give it to the old lady, you'll finally be able to look her in the eye and say, honey, I found the G-Spot without lying.
They giggle. Or they, like, this last little show we did, they seen our pickup in the parking lot, and it's got a pink and black on it with the big pink G-Spot logo on the center. Oh, that's your pickup outside. Yep. That's the G-Spot.
And I'll be honest with you, we're priced higher than a lot of other seasonings. The reason why that is because we use all natural ingredients. There is no extra fillers with all that sodium monoglycinate, that stuff I can't pronounce. And also, we have to do small batches because I'm not a corporation. I can't afford to do huge batches all at once. I wish I'd love to get to that point, not so I can get rich, just so I can bring the price down, and be able to put it on everybody's table.
Well, you pay for the quality, though. I love farm fresh stuff. I love things that are like local, and I love people that make things like that. So if you are someone, I mean, you can go out and buy a sauce that's cheap at, yes, you can. But if you want something of better quality and taste, I like, you know, trying different things, especially like Amish markets. And I'm a shopper.
Yeah.
I love that. And so you can't compare that taste to another, to the shelf at Kroger. You can't do it.
Exactly. But see, some people you can't explain that to.
But, you know, so it's just all about how bad do you want that sauce? How bad do you want that G-spot?
Senior chef for the first time in a long time.
Easy.
Well, I thank you all so much. And I'd love to have you guys back another time in the future. You know, when doing the show, I always wanted to do, and I think it would be kind of fun to have like Melissa Rickman and Hope Savara and a couple other people, because I want to do like a panel at some point where we have like four or five of us. And we've done a couple other little shows, like we did the sex show where we talked about sex and on the road and funny
things.
And
sounds like an after dark.
It happens. It's an after dark thing. But yeah, but it's just like, all that is just normal life, and it's fun, and you should be able to openly talk about these things and not be criticized for it. So
yeah,
you know, my vision for the show was Anna Nicole Smith meets Howard Stern, and that's what I wanted everybody to be able to talk freely, because they were two people that just always talked freely. You know what I mean? They're very free about who they are. So I appreciate you guys coming. I thank you so much. Can't wait to see you all again. Get great big hugs, and I will definitely tell you how this is for me.
Right on.
Thanks for the G-spot.
Thanks for having us.
Bobby, Jess, appreciate it. Love you guys.
All right, we will talk to you all soon. Thank you.
Bye.
Hi guys. So we had a wonderful message, and I had a great time with Trucker G and his wife. They are amazing people. But one thing we want to shout out today is Melissa Rickman, who is one of our allies and people that is a part of our organization. She got married today.
Yay!
So if you have her on Facebook, be sure to give her a shout out, say hi, and say, you know, I don't know, send her a ball and chain, whatever, but, or some handcuffs. She might like that. And then that'd be good news.
I mean, she did let me know she was staying at a deer lodge tonight.
Deer lodge. Okay. But anyway, thank you all so much for tuning in. We have a bunch of different podcasts scheduled over the next month and a half. And if you would like to be a driver that comes on and talks about your experience on the road, reach out to Jess Orton or myself or Derek, one of the admins or moderators. We are working hard to change things and get things out there and just have fun and visibility for everybody. So I thank you all for continuing to support us, and everybody have a great day. Bye, everyone.